All right, as promised, we are joined by Matt Jones, online sports director for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette newspaper, with their Arkansas sports site of wholehogsports.com, and social media at wholehogsports on Twitter. That's where a lot of their stuff gets sent out, so be sure to check all of that fine work out. We're going to talk some Arkansas Razorbacks baseball. Heck of a lot of talk about there. Comeback season for the Razorbacks in 2017 after a bit of a disappointing and un-Razorback-like under Dave Van Horn season in 2016. Ended up falling just short in a regional against Missouri State, but a lot of optimism heading into 2018. So we're going to get into all of that stuff with Matt Jones. Lots of stuff to get to. Let's get right to it. Matt, I appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, Joe, appreciate you having me.
Let's start back kind of at the differences in the two seasons. I alluded to it up top, the disappointing 2016 followed by a bounce back year in 2017 where they ended up hosting a regional. What was the biggest difference or just set of differences between that 2016 team and the 2017 team that we saw most recently?
Well, I think there were multiple factors that went into both of those seasons. When you think about their 2017 year, I think a lot of it had to do with it being an older team. There were a lot of players on that team in 17 who had been freshmen when they went to the College World Series in 15. But in 16 was kind of the first time that they were depended on to be, you know, kind of the guy at their position or maybe, you know, at their role out of the bullpen or whatever the case might have been. And I don't know that they were ready for that. It took a year of growing up for them. And so by the time 17 came around, I think they were probably a little bit more prepared. You know, the other thing I think you have to keep in mind is that Dave Van Horn, who I, for my money, is probably one of the top, you know, 10 or so baseball coaches in the country.
Yeah, agreed.
When you look at what he's done at Nebraska, which had no baseball history of, you know, so to speak, when he got there in the late 90s, and then, you know, he's done a great job of building Arkansas into a perennial contender. I think he trusts his system, and he didn't go crazy and try to change things up after things didn't go right at the end of the 16th season. And so, you know, it's a combination of experience and having a really solid head coach at the helm. And then I also think you have to throw in there the fact that those are pretty highly recruited, pretty highly thought of and regarded players at Arkansas. And so for them to have happened to them what happened in 16 was an embarrassment. And I think there was a lot of hunger on that team last season to prove that that was a one-time blip on the radar. And then that's not what Arkansas's baseball program is really like. And I think they did a good job of you know, having a good comeback, bounce back season.
Couple of assistant coaching questions I have for you. This will be a little bit of a two-parter. For one, what do you think Wes Johnson brought to the team as his first year on the staff last year, whether it was something you observed or something that Coach Van Horn might have mentioned throughout the season? And then second of all, bringing on Nate Thompson from, interestingly, Missouri State to fill the slot left by Tony Vitello. What is the expectation of what he brings to the staff?
Well, for Wes, he brought a lot of power to that pitching staff. Dave Jorn was a longtime pitching coach at Arkansas. In fact, he had been at Arkansas in two stints. He was on Norm DeBryan's staff in the 1980s when Dave Van Horn was a GA and a player. That was kind of the relationship there. And when Dave was hired as the head coach in 02, Dave Jorn had been working in the minor leagues, I think as a manager for one of the lower level minor league clubs for the Yankees. And so Van Horn brought Jorn back on staff. And Jorn was a great pitching coach. In fact, in 2013, Arkansas had the lowest ERA of any team in college baseball in four decades. I think their team ERA was something like 1.89 or something. It was very low, a very good pitching staff. A lot of guys off of that pitching staff now are either in AAA or pitching in Major League Baseball. But Jorn, you know, he's kind of from an old school philosophy on pitching. And I think what Wes Johnson brought was maybe some, you know, newer age thinking to pitching. You know, he was he's real big on theory. He's real big on using technology. And they brought in a kind of a Doppler radar type system last year, installed it at Baum Stadium at Wes's request, called a TrackMan, where they had all these data points that they could show their pitchers about their about their release and about their their release point and what this pitch looked like when it hit this so many feet in front of the plate. And it was pretty incredible when you look at that system. And so you saw Arkansas set a school record last year for strikeouts in a season. When I talked to the players, they all talked about the off-season weightlifting program that Wes Johnson put them through, really put an emphasis on lower body workouts. And so they improved their pitching quite a bit last season. And Trevor Stephan was taken in the third round by the Yankees after one season of working with Wes. Blaine Knight would have been a high-round draft pick, but there were some signability concerns with him. What he wanted for a signing bonus was not what the major league teams were wanting to give him as a sophomore coming out of Arkansas. So, with another year of bargaining power, he'll be back in 2018. So Wes added a lot to the pitching staff, I think, and just about everyone I've talked to really regards him as one of the top young, if you will, he's 45, but one of the top up and coming pitching coaches in college baseball. Would not surprise me at all if he's a head coach within 4 or 5 years. Yes, but Nate Thompson, he's got big shoes to fill from a recruiting standpoint because Tony Vitello was the assistant coach at Arkansas, really helped them land some big-time classes. And I know we'll talk about the signing class they had last year that's coming in for the 2018 season. But he did a great job on the recruiting trail for Arkansas. I talked to a player who lived in the Houston area who made a comment to me that his father told him, "I see Tony Vitello more than I see my wife because he's always at the baseball games. I don't know how he gets from point A to point B the way he does, but he finds a way to do it." And that's the mark of a great recruiter. So from that standpoint, Nate's got some big shoes to fill. But I think from a technical standpoint, Tony wasn't really known as a great hitting coach. In fact, when he got his start in college baseball, he was a pitching coach at Missouri. Even though he wasn't a pitcher, that was the position that he coached at his first college job. Kind of became known more as a hitting coach when he got to TCU for a few years. From a technical standpoint, I think Nate Thompson's one of the better ones in the country. Jake Berger, Jeremy Eierman, there were some others at Missouri State who have done really well under his tutelage. And Missouri State's offense, if you didn't see them last year, they were really fun to watch. Really tough lineup, from 1 through 9. And I think when you have that type of technical teacher like Nate Thompson is, with a type of lineup like Arkansas has coming back, I think Arkansas could be really good in his first year.
It's a good segue there. Let's spin it forward a little bit. Arkansas came through the draft pretty well through the MLB draft. I mean, you alluded to some of it a little bit with Blaine Knight. What level of surprise was there just in general that the program was able to get through the MLB draft relatively unscathed considering the level of talent?
I think from the coaching staff, it wasn't really a surprise because they do a good job of keeping up with their players, whether it's the ones on the team or the signees, and kind of know what their thoughts are going into the draft. Obviously, there are some draft day surprises, but I think from a coaching standpoint, they weren't really surprised by what happened. I think from a fan standpoint, they were very surprised because when you look back at Arkansas over the course of the last 6-7 years, they've had some classes that were just absolutely hammered by the draft. I can name several players who are in Major League Baseball right now who were signed to come to Arkansas. Chris Davis with the Orioles, Michael Fulmer with the Tigers, Greg Bird with the Yankees. There are others who were supposed to come to Arkansas and they didn't make it because they were drafted, and in some instances drafted either a lot higher than they were projected, or they took some money that was not really projected for their round. For instance, I can remember about 7 years ago, there was a hitter Arkansas really liked who was drafted by the Pirates in the 23rd round, and he got $450,000 to sign with Pittsburgh. Of course, that was before the new CBA agreement that kind of cut some of that out. But so I think that Arkansas fans going into the draft, because of so many years of getting hammered the way it had been, they just kind of expect that to be the case again. And so when they saw, hey, our top Friday night pitcher is coming back, and Luke Bonfield, who's a pretty good junior outfielder, he's going to come back, and two or three of our top signees, they're going to come back, and a couple of the signees didn't even get drafted because of signability concerns. There's a lot of excitement about this class coming in. as well as those players who were draft prospects, and in some cases pretty high draft prospects, who either didn't get drafted or didn't get drafted anywhere near enough to sign for the money they wanted.
So then with so much talent coming back and then with the program continuing to recruit so well, what are some of the biggest position battles you'll be watching as fall practice gets underway?
Well, you know, I don't know that there are any position battles at Arkansas this year, and that's kind of an interesting thing in the fall because, you know, that's what the fall is about, is who's going to be your first baseman or who's going to be your right fielder or this or that. There are some players that are playing positions that are new to them. So, for instance, I alluded to Luke Bonfield earlier. He's been an outfielder and a DH, and I think the reason he hasn't been drafted is because, you know, he's not a very good outfielder. And so he's going to get a look this year at first base. I think that'll be the position that he mans when the season rolls around in February. He played some first base up in the Cape Cod League this summer, and I think that there's some thought that if he's going to get drafted high enough, you know, to really make it count, it's going to be as a first baseman. Jared Gates played first base last year but came into Arkansas, thought maybe to be more of a third baseman. He's going to play that position this year, I think. But the interesting thing is, Joe, from that last game against Missouri State back in June, 7 of the 9 position players are back for this team. At catcher, at first base, their starting second baseman's back, although I don't know that he'll be their starter. Starting shortstop's back, starting center fielder is back, Dominic Fletcher, who was a freshman All-American. They've got a lot of players back, and they've got a lot of key players back. Most of their arms out of the bullpen are back. It's really the best turnover, or the most, you know, the most positive turnover from one season to another among experienced, talented players that I can remember in my 10 years covering the program. The one place I would say that there might be a position battle this fall is at second base. Carson Shaddy has been the second baseman. He's kind of a player like Bonfield who doesn't really have a true position. He's played center field for them. He came in as a catcher. He's played second base. He's played third base. He's very error prone though as an infielder. He's in the lineup because of his bat. And he's been the team's that he's had the most errors on the team the last 2 years, and some pretty critical errors too that have cost him some games. And it seems like his errors come late in games at crucial moments in the games. Like maybe he doesn't, maybe he just freezes up at those crucial moments. And so I think at second base they're looking at some freshmen. Casey Martin is one who was the state player of the year in Arkansas last season. He's from Lone Oak, a small town just outside of Little Rock. And then there's also a second baseman named Heston Kierstad from Amarillo, who I think is going to get a look at second base. And both of those are freshmen. And but outside of that, there's really not a lot of position battles on this team. Even the weekend rotation, they've got Blaine Knight back. Isaiah Campbell is back after an injury last season, kept him out. He was probably going to be their Friday starter. And Casey Murphy really emerged as a good left-handed option in their third game, pitched a heck of a game against Missouri State in Game 7 of that regional on not very much rest. So it's going to be very hard to get into the lineup this year for Arkansas.
Yeah, so what you described makes it kind of a tough nut to crack, but I'm curious, you mentioned that the two freshmen second basemen who might be in the mix there. Are there any other names to look for among the incoming recruits that might be able to wiggle their way in and have an impact? Or secondarily, maybe someone who was on the roster last year that maybe didn't get to see a ton of run that might have a shot in 2018?
I think among freshmen, Cole Turney is an outfielder from the Houston area. He's not practicing this fall because he had to have off-season shoulder surgery. They think that they'll get him back for the start of the year, if not for the first series in February, maybe toward the end of the non-conference season in March. He was the top, or one of the top 4 or 5 hitters in high school baseball last year, was a high draft prospect who wanted a lot of money and ended up at Arkansas. And I think he'll find a way into the lineup, maybe even as their starting left fielder, if his recovery goes as planned. And mentioned the two infielders, but among position players, I don't know that there's any more freshmen who are going to be able to make it, you know, into the lineup. Where I think that you might see the biggest contribution from freshmen is going to be on the mound. Bryce Bonin was one of the top 60 prospects, according to Baseball America, going into the draft. Right-hander who throws 97, 98 out of Texas. He went out to the West Coast this summer and played actually in kind of a collegiate league, played with some high school seniors against collegiate competition, did pretty well out there. I think he could factor into their pitching situation. They've got a player named Caleb Bolden, who was a last-second addition to the signing class out of Texarkana, Texas. He was actually committed to go to junior college, and when Arkansas lost a few players to the draft, it opened up some scholarship money. They had been in conversations with him, was able to get him some scholarship, and he's at Arkansas now. Zebulon Vermillion out of the Kansas City area is a big right-hander who throws hard. And then Jackson Rutledge was one of the top pitcher prospects in the draft last year. Didn't even get drafted. He's from St. Louis, 6'8", 260 pounds. They really like what the potential is with him in terms of being a hard-throwing right-hander. And that's, like we said earlier, that's the type of pitcher that Wes Johnson likes. I think right. When he sees the types of Vermillion and Jackson Rutledge and Bryce Bonin and the power they already have coming out of high school, I think he's really excited about what they could be, you know, in year two, year three in a college program.
So the last thing I'll ask, I'll get you out of here on this one. I'm going to ask you to look in your crystal ball a little bit here. You know, won't pin you down on, you know, your win-loss record or anything like that. But I'm curious, you know, Arkansas is a team, and rightfully so, that's already on the short list of Omaha favorites heading into next season. You know, given what we've talked about here, that's seems obvious. But then I'm curious, if they do end up in Omaha, at the end of the season, they're one of the last eight teams left standing. When it's all said and done, how did they get there, do you think? What went right? How did things play out?
You know, I think this might be a little bit of an oversimplification, but I think it's coaching. Let's go back to Dave Van Horn. He's been to the College World Series six times since 2001, and he's been to some super regionals during that time as well. And I just think that you see this when you're covering him. When the weather starts to get a little bit warmer, late April, early May, you just see a sparkle in his eye. You see a different kind of demeanor from him. It's like, this is the time that, you know, I really enjoy a coach. And he gets those players. It seems like every year Arkansas plays its last series away from home, whether it be at Texas A&M or Starkville or Ole Miss or wherever, Georgia. He gets them on the road. Then he takes them straight to Hoover. And it's something about that last weekend series and that weekend or that week leading up to the weekend at the SEC tournament. He really does a good job of getting that team's attention. Finals are over, classes, they're out of classes, and he does a great job of getting the team focused. And so whether it be they're playing at Baum Stadium in a regional or on the road, he's really been able to get their attention a lot. And you think about the last three times that Arkansas has been to the College World Series. In 2009, they played the regional at Oklahoma, and they played the super regional at Florida State. In 2012, they played a regional at Rice, and they played a super regional at Baylor. And then in 2015, they played a regional at Oklahoma State, and they were able to get a super regional in Fayetteville only because Missouri State was a national seed.
That's right.
They couldn't host the super regional up at its ballpark in Springfield because of the scheduling conflict with the Springfield Cardinals. And so he really does a good job of getting them on the road and getting this team focused. And I think that's an oversimplification, maybe, that coaching is the reason that they make the College World Series. But when you look at Dave's track record, I don't know how else you explain it. He's been able to take some teams that weren't expected to do a whole lot and get them to Omaha, you know, probably a lot more than other coaches.
Yeah, 100% with you. Dave Van Horn, one of the very best going right now, shows it time and time again, and certainly a lot to look forward to as we head into 2018 for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Want to thank Matt Jones again for joining us. Again, Matt Jones, online sports director for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette newspaper. Visit wholehogsports.com for all of the Arkansas sports coverage that Matt and his team put together, and then add Whole Hog Sports on social media. Check out all of their fine work. I know I will throughout the fall and as we get into spring practice and march on towards the beginning of the regular season. Matt, I appreciate you joining us today.
Okay, Joe, I appreciate you having me.